friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio, broadcasting live today on BBS Radio 1 out of the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area. And I'm so happy to have Andy Wakefield on. He'll be coming on in just a few minutes. And he's a fabulous fellow, and I'm just so happy to have him here today. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support for Out of This World Radio. Together, I know that we can make this world a much better and happier place. And I'm so happy that you're all listening today. The purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And I know that if we all work together, we can make this earth a much better place. I want to thank Don and Doug at BBS for all their fantastic and wonderful help. My radio shows are supported by listener contributions. And if you'd like to contribute, just go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net and click on the PayPal buttons for a donation. They're very appreciated. I also have two other radio shows in Miami, Florida, where I broadcast on Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on WWNN, as well as in Vienna, Austria on Monday evenings from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central European Time. So I hope you can listen to those as well. All the broadcast information is on my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net. Some of the shows haven't been getting on the website, but be patient. I hope to get all the shows on this week with a lot of work. Today's show, I'll have Dr. Andy Wakefield on, and the following hour will be Alfred Levermont Weber coming to us from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Alfred's a fantastic lawyer. He's got some interesting things to say. I know you'll really enjoy his interview. I'm continuing to raise money for the Hopi Indians. They need food and clean water. Their food supplies have unfortunately been cut during this so-called COVID virus pandemic. And so I've been raising monies for food for the Hopi with and so far we've raised over about probably $5,000 or $6,000. If you'd like to contribute to the Hopi food, please go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com and just click on donations for the Hopi under miscellaneous, and your support would be really appreciated. Also, for decades, for the past 50 or 60 years, the Hopis have been drinking radiation-contaminated and arsenic-contaminated water, with the result that their longevity only goes for about age 44 for men and 54 for women. I consider this unacceptable, and so I've been raising monies for clean water for the Hopi. For the last 2 years, we've raised probably somewhere over $35,000 for clean water filters for the Hopi. Many homes now are getting clean water where they haven't had clean water in 50 or 60 years, but your contributions are still needed and they really help people. For $125, a clean water filter can be purchased for the Hopi, which will provide clean water for the Hopi for many, many years. So if you'd like to donate, please go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com and just click on miscellaneous for the Hopi, and you'll see the little tab there with more information. I just returned from Mount Shasta a few days ago after visiting both Mount Shasta and Mexico. I had 20 years of dental work done on my teeth in 1 week, and with 10, it was really amazing. I had like 7 crowns and 2 root canals and a partridge in a pear tree. I was in surgery for over 20 hours, and I was in a lot of pain for the past 2 weeks, but finally I'm pain-free now, and they did a wonderful job in Mexico, so I can talk without pain. My jaw's still a little swollen, but it's getting better. So I've fallen behind in my emails and correspondence, but I'm planning on getting to everybody this week, so please be patient. I've also fallen behind in my book orders and tuning fork orders, but those will all go out on Monday. So I just wanted to let you know, I'm feeling better now, but it's been a long process. I've waited a long time to do this. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to the other side, and I give readings. If you're interested, please visit my website at outofthisworldreadings.com, and all the information's there. I've also published a book called Messages from the Masters, with messages from Albert Einstein, John F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, and other great spirits on our beautiful, bright future. And I also have special 528 Hertz love tuning forks with Lemurian crystals from Mount Shasta. If you're interested in any of these things, please visit my new website at outofthisworldreadings.com. And one of the people who's been making this planet a much better place is Andy Wakefield. And I'm so honored and pleased to have him on today. Andy, how are you doing? I'm so happy to have you here.
Good. I'm wonderful. Thank you very much. I'm on tour with the film up in Boise, Idaho at the moment, and it's beautiful. We don't get a lot of fall colors in Miami, so it's a joy.
Oh, good. Wonderful. You know, as I was telling you earlier, it used to be that Idaho is famous for its famous potatoes. I was wondering if you've had any potatoes or seen them there on the streets, maybe walking around or met them recently.
I'm keeping an eye out, Ted, but not so far.
Well, that's good. That's good. Andy is an academic gastroenterologist. If I mispronounced that, please let me know. He received his medical degree from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School in London in 1981. He's had a fantastic career in the medicine. And also now we can tell us about that. There was a report that you did back in the late 80s, 90s on the, I believe it was on the MMR vaccine. What happened as a result of that, Andy? I know it's kind of a long story, but
I'll try and put it in a sort of potted summary. For those who don't know, I was a mainstream gastroenterologist. I was entirely mainstream medicine, whatever that means. And I became a surgeon fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons. And my principal interests were inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, and ulcerative colitis. And I ran a large research team at the Royal Free looking at those conditions. And then in May 1995, I started getting contacted by parents who said my child was perfectly well until they'd had their measles, mumps, rubella vaccine in many cases, and they had then regressed into autism shortly after. They'd been perfectly normal, they'd been developing entirely normally, and then things changed. Sure. And the reason they were coming to me is because their children had terrible gastrointestinal issues that the psychiatrists and psychologists had put down to autism, and that didn't make any sense to me. These were physical symptoms of an underlying disease until proven otherwise. And so we investigated these children, and lo and behold, the parents were absolutely right. The medical profession was completely wrong. These children had underlying intestinal inflammation. And when we treated that, not only did the bowel symptoms improve, but the behavioral symptoms, the autism symptoms, improved as well. It was rather like that story, Lorenzo's Oil. Your listeners will remember that. And so we put this into an academic research setting, and we characterized the bowel disease. But we had to take the parents' concern about the vaccine extremely seriously, because they'd been right about the bowel disease. And the essence of good clinical medicine is to listen to the patient or the patient's parents. And that's what we did. And at that stage, the dean of the medical school took me aside and said, if you continue this vaccine safety research, it will not be good for your career. And he was right, in as much that it did have a major impact on my medical career, because when you threaten the pharmaceutical industry's profitability or public health policy, and both in this particular case, which was unusual, then there is no price you will not pay. And it's just ruthless pragmatism. You threaten me and I will destroy you. And so it became somewhat difficult to continue, and I moved to America. My career changed dramatically. I moved to the United States to continue the work, or to try and continue the work, because the U.S. has an infrastructure for healthcare that allows for private research and private research funding. And there is a tremendous legacy of philanthropy in America that enabled the work to continue. So it did, to a certain point, and then it became clear that I wasn't going to be able to continue doing this. Others have, and that's been great, but I became a filmmaker. And I became a filmmaker because over the years, many people had come to me from industry, or from government and said, we are involved in vaccine safety work or vaccine research, and we've done some terrible things, and I can no longer live with that, and here is the evidence. And so I decided that this was the time to turn it into film, and that's what I did. And many years ago, I became a filmmaker, and we've just released the third major motion picture.
Well, could you tell us about that motion picture and how people can support your work, Andy?
Absolutely. I'm delighted. The film is called 1986, The Act. The 1986 refers to the year in which Ronald Reagan signed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act into law, and also is a play on George Orwell's 1984, the sort of dystopian future that he envisaged for the world if we allowed totalitarianism and private interests to take over. And the act refers to the law that was passed. And this, the important thing that people need to understand about this law is that it took financial liability away from the vaccine manufacturers for death and injury caused by their vaccines. And when you do that in a free market economy, when you take a product that is unsafe or an industry out of the away from the constraints of the free market, then you have a major problem. When there is no liability for death or damage done by your products, there is no incentive for safety. Indeed, there's a disincentive. Why would you conduct safety studies that might hurt your bottom line?
Sure. Right.
You wouldn't do it. You would circumvent them. You would foreshorten them. You would make them imperfect so that they didn't reveal the problems inherent in your products. Then you take those products and you make them mandatory. Children have to have vaccines or they can't go to school, public or private school now in California. So you have a guaranteed market at one end and you have no liability at the other. All you can do, Ted, is to make a huge profit. And that's exactly what the pharmaceutical industry did.
Wow.
And it gets worse. And that is what the film is about. It not only tells the history of how the act came into being, but it tells of the intended and unintended consequences, because what happened next is that the industry conspired with federal agencies such as the CDC and the FDA, who did not want the act to pass. They didn't want a system that compensated children for vaccine damage, because they didn't want anyone to know that vaccines could cause damage.
Sure.
So every time a child was compensated, it told the public that this can happen. So they conspired together to undermine the intent of Congress in compensating children damaged by vaccines, in making vaccines safer. They destroyed that. And the only successful element of the act was the indemnification of the pharmaceutical industry. And what people, those who know something about the act, and I thought I knew about this going into making the film, is that it really came into being because the pertussis, the whooping cough vaccine, was dangerous. It was causing a lot of brain damage and death in children, a lot of sudden infant death syndrome, or what was called sudden infant death syndrome. And the industry said to the government, look, we're getting sued for this. We don't make a lot of money on these vaccines. And you are insisting that children get them. We have made it as safe as we possibly can. And therefore, you need to take on liability for these injuries if you want children to continue to get this vaccine. In other words, Congress had its feet held to the fire. And that it was blackmail, and it was a complete and utter lie. And what the film reveals is the extraordinary lengths that the industry went to conceal from the government, from people, from the doctors, and from the public, the truth about that pertussis vaccine, which was the root of all the problems we now face in the world. And that may sound like an overstatement, but the 1986 Act had the effect of making the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine makers, so wealthy, so powerful, that they came to own politicians, they came to write policy, to mandate vaccines, they came to own medical training.
Right.
the education of doctors. They owned the medical journal, so they could decide what was published and what was not published. They owned the media through direct-to-consumer advertising, and then they globalized this policy. So the immense wealth that came from the passage of that 1986 Act gave the industry the power to own everything worldwide, except one thing, Ted, and that is the hearts and minds of the people. And now we find ourselves in this extraordinary situation with the threat of 7 billion people worldwide receiving mandatory COVID-19 vaccine at the demands, seemingly, of people like Bill Gates, with huge financial interests in the success of his vaccination policy, and no liability. And people need to understand how we got here, because only by understanding how we got here through watching this film will they understand why we are here now and where we are going in the future if we do not take a stand for health freedom right now.
I couldn't agree with you more, Andy, and I'm so proud and admire you so much for your wonderful work, for standing up for truth. The purpose of my show is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place, and you're doing great work to do that and helping to raise the conscious by just simply informing people. I'm sure you've heard of this, Andy, but I've heard from Dr. Judy Mikovits and as well as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been on my show before, that some of the incredible things they put in these vaccinations, like the MMR vaccinations, are fetal tissue from little boys and aborted babies, like male and female babies. The problem I've heard, Dale Bigtree was telling me about this on my show the other day, that when you put in the aborted fetus, for example, from a male baby into a young girl, if later in life, it changes the RNA DNA so that makes she thinks that she's a man. And then you do the same thing with a boy. If you inject fetal tissue from a girl, a baby, aborted a female baby into a little boy, he later in life thinks he's a little girl. So they have this transgender sexual identity problems. And often kids lose interest in sex whatsoever. And what's interesting is that I don't know what the scientific basis is for that, but it's totally ludicrous and crazy why anybody would ever want to do that. But according to the Luciferians, their god is something called Baphomet. Baphomet is a Luciferian god that's half female and half male. So perhaps there's an agenda for transgenderism in the United States and worldwide to make everybody like Baphomet their Luciferian god. Have you heard about that, by the way?
No, I haven't. I mean, I know about the use of aborted fetal cells in vaccine production, but not the Luciferian connotations of that. There were historical, to understand how we got to this situation where people are saying, why would you use cells from an aborted fetus in making vaccines, even at a biological level, let alone a moral and ethical level? And the reason was that they started making live viral vaccines like measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox. So the polio, the live polio vaccine, had to be grown. Viruses only grow in cells. So they had to be grown in cells in culture, in a laboratory, to propagate, to replicate themselves, to make the vaccine. And so what they started doing many, many years ago is to use animal cells, cells from other animals. What they did and what they knew they had done at the time is to grow them in animal cells, such as, for example, monkey cells that contained viruses from monkeys. Now, those viruses, many of them, had come into a harmonious relationship over millions of years with those monkeys. They were no longer dangerous to the monkeys. But when you took the products of that vaccine and you put them into humans, including the monkey viruses, they jumped species, then they were catastrophic. Right. They produced diseases in their new hosts that weren't used to these viruses. Mm-hmm. And so we found chicken viruses in measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Mm-hmm. We found monkey viruses in polio vaccines, and it went on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And they realized they had a problem. They didn't tell anyone they had a problem. But they realized they had a problem. And so they had to move. They thought, theoretically, we need to move to using human cells. We have to get away from using animal cells. Sure. And so they did that. And they did that by virtue of taking the cells of aborted fetuses.
I see.
Now, that introduced a whole host of other problems, which, as you say, Teresa Deischer has spoken very eloquently about, Dr. Teresa Deischer, including the fact that human DNA is itself very inflammatory when put into another human host, not least of which are the potential gender problems that you have talked about. You're putting someone else's genetic material into a baby. Are we surprised that it then has a knock-on biological effect in influencing the biology of that person into whom it's been injected? We shouldn't be surprised at all. So there's every theoretical reason to believe that, yes, there may well be consequences in determining sexuality by injecting cells from an aborted boy into a girl or a girl to a boy. Then we come to the ethical and moral implications of it, which are, to so many people, abhorrent. And they're not told about it. They don't know about it. So the issue of informed consent never is allowed to raise its head.
Right.
And perhaps even more surprisingly, Ted, is that when it has been discussed amongst the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, for example, it has been determined that it's okay. That despite using the products of an aborted fetus, it's okay because the benefits to humanity outweigh the moral implications. What extraordinary hypocrisy is that? So it operates on so many levels. It's a biological catastrophe. It's an unknown over which we have no control once we've injected these things.
Sure.
And it also raises so many ethical and moral issues that seem to have been brushed under the carpet by the leaders of one of the, at least the Catholic Church and perhaps others as well.
Well, as you know, Bill Gates is what's called a eugenicist, which is a polite word of eliminating people. I don't know who appointed him God, but he, in his opinion, there's too many people on the planet. So that's another agenda, I think, that Mr. Gates is pushing. But I wanted to mention, people don't realize it, but recently the Rockefeller Foundation funded a study to require people to have COVID tests before they fly. And United Airlines and Cathay Pacific recently tested that on several flights, both within the United States and in Asia. I've heard that the tests themselves, many of which are made in China, actually contain the COVID virus. And so if you take the test, guess what? You get the virus. The second thing is that the virus test itself is only is 20% accurate, if that, and so with 80% false positives. So why on earth would you ever want to have a test to determine whether you have the virus that doesn't work anyway? It appears also that this funding given by the Rockefeller Foundation for this study was actually started before this COVID thing started, actually last year. So they had it all planned out. Have you heard about that?
I have, and I've heard many, many stories, and there have been a lot of documents that have been produced that confirm the veracity of at least a high proportion of these stories. We know on the tour with this film, and I'm now up in Boise, Idaho, and we've been all over the country. We have these discussions because we have to fly. And so my team and I talk about this. And what's fascinating, Ted, is that the airlines are on their knees financially now because people are not flying because of COVID. So they are really struggling. And now they're going to issue an airline app that says, I am or I am not immune,
right.
And it will be, I am or I'm not vaccinated against COVID-19. And I presume that when I scan that, just going to get onto the aircraft, if it says that I am neither immune nor vaccinated, I will be turned away.
That's right.
Now, this is really interesting because I will say to that airline, right, I'm not going to get vaccinated, therefore I'm not going to fly with your airline ever again. And if that applies to all airlines, I will not fly with any airline again.
Right.
That is going to bring an industry that it's already on its knees to bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So what is bizarre to me, Ted, in this free market economy is that the airlines have become the police, the enforcers for the public health authorities and the vaccine manufacturers. Surely someone in the airlines is going to turn around and say, hang on a minute, what are we doing going to the wall financially because we're being made to enforce the policies of these other people? And this happened in the schools in California.
Sure.
The schools became the arbiters of whether children could be educated or not, according to whether they'd had all their vaccines according to the CDC schedule. And the teachers said, no, this is not our purpose. Our purpose is to educate children.
Right.
We're not here to be the police force for you people.
Right.
And we're the ones who are losing money because parents are saying, no, we're going to leave and we're going to go and form a cooperative of homeschoolers.
Right.
And that's exploded in these states that are mandating vaccination. And the schools, the public schools, the private schools are going to the wall as a consequence. Teachers are losing their jobs. How is this allowed to happen in a free market? And my belief is that in a free market, the market always wins. It always wins. And it will be self-defeating when you start to make other industries the arbiter of whether people can or cannot live their lives in a normal way.
Right. I have to tell you that not all airlines, of course, are the same. And American Airlines, for example, has been raising monies for the Hopi for clean water and food. And they've so far raised about $20,000. That was done with the help of President Trump, who worked behind the scenes on doing that. So I want to give a good plug for American Airlines today that I have a worldwide audience. And if you are flying United, cancel your tickets, get your money back. And if you're flying Cathay Pacific, cancel your tickets and boycott both Cathay Pacific and United. These airlines are up to no good. They have evil intentions regarding their own client base. I would never fly an airline that required a COVID test or a vaccination. No, forget it. Absolutely forget it. Give your business to an airline like American Airlines, who's now working with President Trump to help the poor Hopi Indians in Arizona. And I can't say that as strongly as possible.
I heard your reference to the Hopi and I before we came on, and you're obviously doing a wonderful job and to be highly commended for doing that. And I'm delighted that President Trump and American are right behind that. So good.
Yeah.
And long may American resist this ridiculous situation that United and Cathay Pacific are now putting themselves in.
Well, it's going to fail. And what's interesting is it appears that the funding was started by Rockefeller before the people even heard about the COVID. It was all planned out, absolutely planned out. So, but everyone, I want everyone to do your own research and look up the facts for yourself and then resonate with whatever truth that you believe is right. But that's my truth. That's what I know. And I know what I'm doing now. The second thing I've heard is that Benjamin Fulford from Japan recently flew from Tokyo to somewhere in the States and then up to Canada. And apparently the airline crew had sprayed the interior of the plane with all kinds of chemicals. Those chemicals made him extremely sick. He's doing a study on it now. And that's the other phenomenon happening now, that if you do fly, be prepared that you're going to get sprayed with a bunch of chemicals that are unregulated by the government. There's no laws on the books. They've taken it on their own to spray these airlines with. Have you discovered that yourself?
I haven't. And so far, I haven't fallen sick. But nothing would surprise me.
Yeah.
There is no informed consent. There is just, this is what we're going to do. And I do foresee a time when I'm just simply going to say, we can have this meeting. We can have this conversation by Zoom, by any other mechanism.
Right.
There is no need for me to fly 5,000 miles to do this.
Sure.
I will not do it.
Sure.
And I will not do it in particular because of the constraints put upon my personal freedoms by the airlines or others,
sure.
TSA, whatever it may be. And it will have a devastating effect upon those particular elements of the economy.
I've got free airline credits now. I could have used for my trip to Mexico, but forget it. I drove. I mean, it took me 30 hours, but so what? I saw the country.
You see a great deal of the country, and
and I gave a lot of money to the oil industry. for the gasoline I got. So I didn't support the airlines, but I supported the petrol oil industry. You know, one or the other, got to support somehow. But I want to bring up an interesting topic for you, Andy. I don't know if you've heard of this book. It's called The Other Side of Autism by Laura Hirsch. It was published 10 years ago. Have you heard of the book, by the way?
You know, I have. I'd forgotten about it. Remind me, Dan.
Okay, sure. It's she had dutifully followed the guidelines that her MD had told her to get a vaccination, MMR vaccination for a little boy. So she did. Her little boy ends up getting autism. And then she goes back to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, just, we can't do anything about it, but, you know, go ahead and take 2 aspirin. Here's a glass of water, and the bill's $250 for my medical advice. And so she got kind of frustrated. So she turned to psychics, and she said, what's going on here? Why is my child suffering this? Is there a solution? And she contacts Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Albert Einstein. And both Albert, who's a friend of mine, and President Roosevelt, comes in, and they said, look, what's happening is that the U.S., your government, since 1972, has been producing chemical weapons underneath the sands of Nevada near Winnemucca. And in these chemical factories, which are banned by treaties, by the way, but they're doing it anyway, they have accidents once in a while, and botulism, anthrax, you name it, it escapes from the desert, these factories, and they get blown in the air. And the winds go from Nevada north to Idaho, where those famous potatoes are, and eastern Oregon and eastern Washington. And when kids eat those potatoes, like in French fries at fast food restaurants, the combination of the MMR vaccination, there's something in the vaccination itself, plus the chemical residue in these tuber crops that's so deadly, triggers the autism. And so it's a combination. It's a two-step factor. So that's what she found out. But the good news is that, so if you do have children, don't have them eat potatoes and don't get the MMR vaccination. But the good news, she said, is that there would be a cure for autism by the end of 2025, 2023. So there is a cure coming for it. The scientists will discover it. But I wanted to mention that to you in case you'd heard about it. So.
No, I haven't. It's a fascinating story, and I'd love to read it. It's the other side of autism.
I'll get you a copy.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, Laura's been on my show before years ago, and I will get you a copy. So, tell me, Andy, let's say you're a parent living in a state like California, mm-hmm. Which requires vaccinations. Or what can people do to stand up to this madness? And they've got little children, and they don't want to have them vaccinated.
Right. This is an interesting one, Ted, and it's particularly pertinent at this time of year as we approach the November election. But
right.
Mm-hmm. It is going to be highly dependent upon how you vote. And this has played out at the state level. It's right. A matter of fact, and I've been an observer on American politics for the last 30 years. I don't have any past affiliations or allegiances. My father didn't vote Democrat all his life or Republican all his life.
Sure.
But I deal in plain, simple facts. That is that wherever at the state level there has been a mandatory vaccination law attempted or passed, then it has been divided directly down political lines. The Democrats are in favor of mandatory vaccination, and the Republicans are against it. And that is now playing out at a federal level as well. Even yesterday, we have a situation where Scott Atlas and President Trump have said there is going to be a COVID-19 vaccine, but it will not be mandatory. It will only be for those who want it. On the other hand, we have Kamala Harris sponsoring a law at a federal level to remove all religious exemptions to vaccination. And we have Joe Biden explicitly saying, we are going to have a mandate. When I get into power, when I get into the White House, there is going to be a mandatory coronavirus vaccine for this COVID-19 disorder. And we will remain in lockdown as a country, in masks, until such time as that vaccine becomes available. So it is divided at a federal level, precisely down political lines as well, as to the issue of mandatory vaccination.
Interesting.
So, Californians have been the architects of their own demise in many ways. Mm-hmm. They are staunchly Democratic at a population level, and they have politicians who reflect the policies I've just described.
Sure.
Mandatory vaccination that has been allowed to really take to demolish the Californian constitution of everybody's right to an education by taking away that right if you're not vaccinated. And now they're going after homeschoolers as well. So Californians are leaving California in droves, and it is those who can afford to leave. And so the taxpayers, the middle class, the professional classes, the film and entertainment industry are leaving California and going elsewhere. They're going to Texas. They're going to Nashville. They're going elsewhere. But they are leaving California. And that leaves California even more financially destitute than it already is, because those people who have sustained the state and its social welfare systems are leaving. To the extent that I now gather that Governor Newsom is trying to impose a departure tax on people leaving and to backdate it 10 years. If you left California within the last 10 years, we're going to tax you on it. I can't see that working.
You know what they call Governor Newsom in California?
Go on.
Governor Nuisance.
That's right. He's more than a nuisance. But the truth is that California is in a very, very difficult position. And it is, I'm afraid, by virtue of the way in which people have conducted themselves politically. And for this, people ask me this, and I say, look, in this forthcoming election, who do you vote for? You vote for your children.
Right.
And you vote for your grandchildren.
Right.
They are the future of this country. And you put all past allegiances and affiliations to one side, and you make the decision that if you want the state to take over the rights and responsibilities of your child, if you want the state, and by virtue of the state, the pharmaceutical companies who write state policy on vaccinations, to be the determinants of whether your child gets vaccinated or not, what goes into their bodies and your bodies, then you'll vote one way. And if you don't want that, if you want bodily autonomy, if you want, as a parent, to decide what goes into your child's body and your body, then you'll vote the other way. But that is who you must vote for. Put all else to one side,
right.
Because this is the most important thing.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, Andy. Myself, I look at, I'm more or less an independent. I work for the best person, you know, male or female, it doesn't matter as long as they've got good policies. And I think you're absolutely right. If we don't protect our children, what future do we have? Nothing. You know, can we be so selfish just to think about ourselves without caring about future generations? Did you know, for example, that Bill Gates doesn't vaccinate his children? And strongest proponents of vaccines is Washington Governor Inslee out here on the West Coast. And his daughter works for the Gates Foundation. So they've got some close family ties. Gates also financed his reelection recently. As well as did Pfizer. Big Pharma financed his first run for the governorship of Washington. It's like dictator for life. But if you look at themselves, Gates doesn't vaccinate his children. You know, why? Nobody's been able to ask him why. But there's probably, he knows the problems with it. So he doesn't want to, you know, hurt his own bloodline, obviously. Well, this is I've been told by astrologist Andy that the years from 2015 to 2030 are some of the most tumultuous times in human history. Of that time frame, 2020 is the most difficult year, and of that 2020 time period, the period from July to December is the hardest. And of those 6 months, November and December will be the most difficult. So I can't wait to see what happens next. This is October, and November is just a few weeks away. I've been told that if the, you know, Trump wins, and I think he will next month, the Democrats will throw a temper tantrum and cause more problems. I mean, they're burning cities up and down the West Coast here. Or in Oregon, just last week, there have been over 100, 150 arson fires in downtown Portland alone. At Portland, Oregon, used to be one of the most livable cities in the United States. Now it looks like Afghanistan. The whole downtown area is burned out. Last week, Antifa and Black Lives Matter came in and destroyed an Oregon museum that had been there for over 100, 150 years. They're destroying our history. I mean, it's total madness. You don't even want to drive in downtown Portland. In Seattle, which is the area where I live, there's been Molotov cocktails thrown at passing motorists in downtown Seattle. So now that area now is a complete burned out area. It looks like Beirut. And it's madness. I've never seen such madness before. And I can't understand why politicians in this country think it's okay to destroy other people's properties, to burn down buildings, to murder other people, rob other people, as if it's okay. I don't understand it, Andy. But anyway, that's just me. So,
well, no, it is inexplicable, and it's except at a level where there is a deliberate attempt to undermine the very integrity of the United States of America.
Right.
And it is, I think they've almost admitted as such, you know, that they're a Marxist organizations that have at their core the intent on revolution.
Right.
And it's backfired. I think it's clearly backfired because it's not what any other American wants.
Right.
Not exactly. What Americans recognize. It's not what any Americans of any race, color, creed, religion recognize. It's not why we're here. And the failure of the Democrats to criticize what has been going on, the tacit endorsement of much as what has been going on, has led many right-thinking Americans. I don't mean right politically, I mean correct thinking Americans, for what they want for their children and their grandchildren, what they perceive America to stand for,
right,
who have historically favored the Democrats, are saying enough.
Right.
I'm leaving. This, I do not even recognize the Democrat Party, the Democratic Party. This is not the Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy. This is not what I believed in, and therefore I will not be voting, or I will be voting the other way. And so I think it, as an observer on American politics, I think it has dramatically undermined the Democrats and will greatly increase the chances of Trump taking back the White House in November.
Right. 2 months ago, I was awoken at 3 o'clock in the morning by seven U.S. presidents, President Kennedy, Eisenhower, Jefferson, Washington, John Quincy Adams, Teddy Roosevelt, a bunch of presidents. And they all wanted me to start a program called Save the Republic, because they were very concerned about where the direction of the country was going. So people have to wake up. If you want to see an example of what can happen if these thugs take over America, all you have to do is look at the area of Capitol Hill in central Seattle, where the governor, Washington governor, Democratic Governor Inslee, and Democratic Mayor Durkin allowed Antifa and Black Lives Matter to take over like an 8 or 9 block area where 4,000 or 8,000 people live this past summer. Antifa and Black Lives Matter were there for a couple of months. And during that time, there's 8,000 people who live there. Over 4,000 police reports were filed for murder, rape, robbery, theft, felony destruction of property, you name it, across the board. And I got this information from reliable sources within the city government who were disgusted about what was happening. So if you have over 4,000 police reports for serious felonies in a population of 8,000, that means that at least one out of every two people, over 50% of the people there, experienced violent crime during this short 2 month period. And then they wanted to fund the police in Seattle too. So it is total mayhem. And I've been told that Durkin, the mayor of Seattle, and Governor Inslee of Washington only started to clean up the area after President Trump threatened federal troops to come in and take over the situation if they couldn't. So I don't know what's going on now. The media is controlled out here. We don't get any news. All I know is that people have driven downtown Seattle now says it looks like somewhere out of Beirut in the 60s or Afghanistan more recently. It's just totally, it's like everything's boarded up. There's no businesses. But I know that this is not where they want the country to go. Portland's the same way in Oregon. I've heard Sacramento is the same way too. All Democratic governors, all Democratic mayors, got Democratic governors. It's like they want to destroy everything that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John F. Kennedy, and all of our great spirits on the other side worked so hard to create this country as a shining beacon of light for freedom in the world. Now we get this. I mean, most Americans I know are against that. So,
you know, something that fascinates me and has come to fascinate me more and more, and you talked about it, is people who look at the astrological charts and are able to predict what and people, and you know, for years as a scientist, it's not that I just didn't believe it, I just paid little attention to it. I'm very open-minded. I'm very, very open-minded, because what medicine has taught me, what science has taught me, is that we know so little. We understand so little about the universe, about our own biology, about everything. And so keep an open mind. But they predicted exactly as you said. They said, this will happen.
Right.
This is how it'll happen. This is when it'll happen. And it happened exactly as they said.
Right.
And I found that uncannily sort of prescient. It was extraordinary. And and it will, they said this is, and they said it with absolute certainty. There was no question, no ambiguity in their minds, and it played out exactly as they said. And I've come to talk to them and seek their counsel in many, many things. Consequently, on every occasion, they have been absolutely right. And as you say, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
But there is a large element of necessity about this. Mm-hmm. It's almost that it has to happen in order to shake up our consciousness. What do we want?
Right.
Who is going to survive and who is not going to survive?
Right.
And so it's a very interesting spiritual time, as well as a, you know, just trying to survive on a day-to-day basis, making pragmatic decisions about, right, do I fly, do I not fly? There is something very much more important and profound going on that is going to determine so many things about our future. I'm fascinated by the process.
There's, I'll send you some information about it if you like, and I'd also like to send you a copy of my book, Messages from the Masters. I wrote it.
Please do, and I'd be fascinated to do that.
Okay, I'll get it off in the mail on Monday. But they talk about our beautiful, bright future. When they first contacted me, Albert Einstein was the first being to come through, and then he introduced me to all of his friends. They have messages saying that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. At the time they first contacted me, Andy, in the spring of 15, of course, there was talk about a nuclear war with North Korea. But guess who intervened? They told me that there would be no nuclear war. And guess who intervened in that conflict and brought things down so there wouldn't be a nuclear war? That was President John F. Kennedy. He's still our president on the other side, working tirelessly for peace. He was behind the scenes in getting President Trump and the leaders of the Middle East to come to this new Middle East peace agreement that you don't read about in the mainstream press. I don't know, beyond sports and weather and traffic, they don't publish much else in the United States anymore about anything on the mainstream media. But at any rate, he said that he was behind that, and President Kennedy now says he's working behind the scenes. The next big issue will be disclosure of the pedophilia and the child trafficking rings that's been going on for quite some time in around the world, and that'll be the next shoe that'll drop, I'm told. But please know, everyone, that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. I can't tell you how many times I've turned on the media and listened only for 30 seconds before I have to turn it off. I turned on Coast to Coast. It's a national radio show here last night or night before last. And the first 30 seconds, they talk about hundreds of thousands of people dying from COVID. And I said, I don't need this propaganda. I don't know anybody who's, I'm not saying that COVID doesn't exist. I'm saying that personally, I don't know anybody who's had it or has died from it. And I don't understand why the whole economy has to be shut down for a virus that had less of a death rate than the common flu 2 years ago. But anyway, I turn off media like that keeps emphasizing the negative, because our minds are very powerful. And if we want to create a beautiful, bright future, we have to think positive. That's one of the most important messages that the spirits from the other side tell
us. I think that's absolutely right. I do not have a television. I don't watch the mainstream news. I don't read newspapers. Okay. And part of the reason is because it drags you into this mire of despondency. And that has to be avoided at all costs. If you're going to be upbeat and positive, and there is a reason to get out of bed and take, you know, greet the day, then you cannot allow yourself to be dragged into this sort of fear scenario, which they want to create, which is sells newspapers, sells news, which pushes someone else's agenda. No.
Right, exactly. I do time travel. And about a month ago, I had a client in Australia. And I said, let's have some fun. She was wanting to know how to time travel. So I taught her how to do it. And we went out 6 months to March of 2021. And in 2021, what was fascinating is that we looked at the computer screen, and all this was like so many government so-called leaders have been arrested. We turned the corner. Things have gotten much better. There's been a lot of disclosure, and we were on the path toward ascension. We already are, but things have gotten much better. So I know we're going to get through this. That's the message I got from that time travel. I've also time traveled other dates in the future too. But it's fascinating to look at. By the way, your film's going to do very well.
I'm very glad to hear. Thank you so much.
Very, very well. And the reason my radio shows have been really, the listener base has just exploded all over the world, is because people, Andy, are tired of, they want the truth. Mm-hmm. And they're tired of being lied to. I mean, why would I want to flip on the radio and listen to another program that does nothing but talk about hundreds of thousands of deaths of COVID virus? That's not my purpose, is to get down. You know, if I want to get depressed, I'll listen to an old speech by Hillary Clinton or something.
Yes. I'm feeling too happy today. I need to listen to Hillary. Yes, I can see it.
But, you know, Hillary has her own. I'm not so sure whether she's even alive right now. I think they've got a clone working for her. But anyway, we've got about 5 or 10 minutes left, Andy. And I want to tell you that so you can touch upon it. I should have asked you at the beginning of the show, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I think the film, when you screenwriting and filmmaking is about subtext. Mm-hmm. The story is in the subtext. It's between the lines. It's what's not said. It's what your actors convey. And I wanted to reassure people about one thing and leave on a very positive note, is that what this film, 1986, The Act, is about, and you can get it, go to 1986theact.com, and you can stream it, and you can download it, and you can buy the DVD, and you can see a chapter's version that breaks it down into shorter pieces. And 1986theact.com, but what it's essentially about is the extraordinary power of maternal intuition. There's tons of fact in there, but the subtext is maternal intuition, this ancient wisdom that is a survival imperative that has evolved over hundreds of thousands of years to keep us safe. A mother knows when her baby's well or ill, what's right for them, what's wrong for them. She knows. There is a voice inside her that has told her, and it is there for a very good reason. It is perhaps God's greatest gift to mankind. And it is far more powerful than the man in the white coat, than vaccines or antibiotics or anything that we have ever done in medicine. Right. And it's the reason we're here on this planet today. So what we need to do as a species, individually and collectively, is for mothers to understand that, to take back that ancient wisdom, to defer to that inner authority, not to that little man, Tony Fauci, standing behind the podium in the White House telling us what we should and shouldn't do, pretending he knows our children better than we know them. And if that happens, and when that happens, when we take back that power, it will have an extraordinary effect. Right. And I've witnessed this in so many encounters, personally and in exchanges, clinical exchanges with mothers and children. And please understand it, because it is real. And husbands, you don't have it to anything like the same degree, because you were not biologically one with that child as they grew inside you, but you have it. But the most important thing you can do is honor it and understand that the mother of your children does have it. Sure. And when you do that, you have a very, very powerful alliance. So that is my takeaway message to people. Yeah. When going into this film and watching it, that is what the subtext of this film is.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I think people have two minds, Andy. They have the third dimensional logical mind between the two ears, and then they also have the heart mind. Now, generally speaking, women have a better developed intuition than men do, but there's intuitive men too, like myself. I always follow my intuition on what's going on. But if people follow their heart mind more than their logical mind, they make better decisions generally, because you're tying into that God force, and God's never wrong. And also, everyone also has lots of angels around them, and you have Archangel Michael around you, Andy. So anytime you need help, just ask him for help, and he'll protect you. He's a very powerful, benevolent angel. But they're all very proud of your work, Andy, and you're going to become even more successful in the coming many years. You'll be recognized as a truth seeker. And there is a chance, let me double check my pendulum here, that you'll be getting the Nobel Peace Prize within 5 years, 3 to 5 years for your work, as the world changes.
Well, bless you, Ted. It's a pleasure talking to you, and it's been a wonderful insight, so thank you.
My pleasure, Andy. Could you give out your website and a way to contact you if people have more questions?
Certainly, 1986-1986theact.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can go to info@ and communicate directly with us. But there you can get the movie in all its forms. And we're on the road with the movie now, playing in churches and yoga studios and tents, and occasionally even movie theaters. Fancy that.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. If people wanted to donate and give you some financial support, can they do that, or do you accept
that? Would be wonderful. Our marketing budget is essential, and we have zero at the moment. So there is a donation button at 1986theact.com. You can donate, and you can donate through a 501c3, so it has that tax benefit as well.
Excellent. That's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Andy. Well, again, thank you so much for your work. I really admire you for stepping out. I mean, you could have stayed a traditional doctor for all these years, led a comfortable life, but you instead chose truth. Like my next guest, Alfred Labrador Weber, who's really coming on in just a minute. But Alfred's a wonderful fellow, and he's like you in the sense that he stood up for truth all these years, and I'm so happy he's coming on. And Andy, I'd love to have you on again anytime on my show. And I want to thank you so much, both you and Dr. Judy Mikovits, and of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Del Bigtree. They've all been on my shows, and I admire them so much for all the wonderful work that you all do. And let me know how I can support you in the future. And I'd love to have you back on anytime as well.
Love to come back on, Ted. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right, Andy. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Great time in the state of famous potatoes.
Wonderful. Bye-bye then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Andy. Take care. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye. Bye. That was Dr. Andy Wakefield coming to us live from Idaho, where he's now doing a new show.